Olivia Greenmill. The hullabaloo of the holidays is over. There's nothing left to look forward to. Except about 3 to 7 months of a long-ass winter. Here's what we're gonna do, though. We're gonna work together. Ba-da-ba-ba, yeah. We're gonna focus on the reward. Yeah, 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 yeah. All right. Do you have to focus on the pain? Or do you think about the gain? Ow, think about that first bite of real food after a colonoscopy. Or the first of a vibrator after really bad sex. The first day of summer after a long-ass polar vortex of a winter. Oh yeah, that's what's getting me through, thinking about tank tops and short shorts, ball caps and dad jorts, no class and no more teaching, solo cups for boozy beaching, hit up the barbecue, drink some brews, play some bags, oh you can't lose in the summer, summer, summertime. Ba-da-ba-ba. Summer, summer, summer time. Yeah. Talking about any old summer. I'm talking about a specific kind of summer. That's what's gonna get us through Chicago. I know you know what I'm talking about. Slut summer. Slut summer. You see them in the Marianos, drinking $3 glasses of wine. They're not looking for your follows, just a little of your sexy time. They're always nice to meet until they lose your number. Their office is the sheets. It's a party with no slumber. Slut summer. Getting down and feeling the heat. Slut summer. God damn, I hope it happens to me. Well, the S is for singles and the L is for living. The U is for your, like you'd write if you were texting. The T is for truth. Now fuck, I'm out of letters. What do you get when you put it all together? Slut. Slut summer. Truth. Slut summer, ooh, it could happen to you. Slut summer, ooh, feels so good to be free. Slut summer, ooh, goddamn, I hope it happens to me. Ow! Doodly down, doodly down, doodly down. Doodly down, doodly down, doodly down. Doodly down, doodly down, doodly down. Summertime is coming, gonna get my sunny summer on, oh yeah. Day hanging, not banging, but no walk of shaming, more like walk of faming. Gonna need a motorcade for my sex parade, baby. If you're thirsty, drink this Gatorade. Got the veggies and the brats on the grills. Got my panties on the floor, cause you giving me the feels. Don't got a taste for an Italian ice, cause my tongue would rather lick upon your sweaty thighs. Don't need a jersey to run around my faces, cause home is where my heart and your booty and your face is. Doodly now, doodly now, doodly now. Doodly-dow. Summertime is coming, gonna get my slutty summer on, oh yeah. Slutted up on the feather bed covered with roses. Slutted up in an alleyway, cover your noses. Slutted up at the Sybaris, bring chlorine. Slutted up on your couch with a magazine. Slutted up at the deli cause you like it beefy. Slutted up at the park cause you like it leafy. Slutted up at night, early in the morning, middle of the day while the dogs are walking. Ooh. Now I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, oh, this is not a very inclusive song. I can't have a slut summer because I'm shackled to my inhibitions. You want me to set you free? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. What I got to do to be a slut? Who I got to boo to be a slut? I guess I never knew to be a slut. It's gonna feel so good to be a slut. What I gotta do to be a slut? Who I got to boo to be a slut? I guess I never knew to be a slut. Oh, slut summer. Slut summer.
This song is a bit of a Chicago summer classic, but we just happened to record this performance of it the first Saturday in January. That was Slut Summer by Laura McKenzie, originally performed last summer for the Machete at the Green Mill and revisited just about 7 months ago. How young we were, and how naively horny. This is the Machete Audio Magazine, July 25th, 2020. I'm Christopher, and this week's episode is a bit of a banger. There's fast food on the menu for the foodies, and we've got AOC coverage for the policy wonks, and some Elizabeth Warren commentary for the VP poll watchers, and abortion commentary for all you liberal sluts. And obviously, by sluts, I mean sluts of all gender expressions, cowboy, plus some killer stand-up comedy. But first, if you need to cool down a bit after that ironically steamy cold open sketch, I think this cabaret artist should hit the spot. Here's the singer-songwriter Abby Rashashaker.
Remember the time when I was a ghost? I left my body. For a little while, I floated around from coast to coast, and I was not me. For a little while, oh, the blessed relief of silence, the refuge of being alone, the wonderful weightless feeling of refusing to answer the phone. I remember the time when I missed you the most. I wanted to hold you, beg forgiveness, mm-hmm. You're what I long for when I long for home. You deserve better than the wreck I've been. Oh, your love is the breath of life, and my shame, it cuts me like a knife. You deserve so much better than living this haunted life. I swear I'll go being a ghost, put my body back on like a coat. There's needles and pins all over my skin, but I'll do anything, I'll do anything. There's needles and pins all over my skin, but I'll do anything, I'll do anything. So into my body I return. Oh, how it aches, oh, how it burns. Into my body I return. Oh, how it aches, oh, how it burns. So into my body I return. And oh, how it aches, oh, how it burns. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home, home to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Abby Rosheshaker is a musical child of Chicago, now based in Los Angeles. This week, fast food behemoth Wendy's announced that it will become the nation's first hamburger chain to offer a cashback rewards program through a new phone app that encourages digital purchases. Whether or not this is related to the apocalyptic cashless society foretold in the book of Revelation remains to be seen. The Wendy's sketch you're about to hear was recorded at the Green Mill last November, when Wendy's was in a public chicken sandwich war with Chick-fil-A. This is Michael Gomez.
Good afternoon, Wendy's regional managers. I'm Carl Lorito, Wendy's new chief marketing officer. In case you haven't noticed, there's an all-out sandwich war out there. Popeyes is dominating the conversation with their stupid new chicken sandwich, which all started from a stupid Twitter spat with stupid Chick-fil-A. Was there collusion? I don't know. I haven't seen anything to say there wasn't collusion, so... All I know is that Forbes magazine is writing articles like Inside the Fried Chicken Sandwich Wars, how Popeyes stacks up against a flock of competition. That's a chicken-based pun and a Forbes headline, for God's sake. And where's Wendy's in all this? Nowhere. We were silent when Burger King came out with their mental health meals. Silent when Taco Bell all of a sudden became a fucking gastropub. But we will remain silent no more. So I've enlisted the help of Major Leonard Kilroy to knock some sense into us. Major? Permission to applaud denied. That's right. People of Wendy's, I am Major Kilroy. You may have seen me running the boot camps for out of control teens on Maury Povich. And the results are in. I am your daddy. For the next 5 minutes. People of Wendy's, what is wrong with y'all? We are deep in diarrhea. There's a whole sandwich war going on and y'all out here being like Switzerland. Oh, I'm not just gonna get involved. You know what? Never mind, people of Wendy's. I gave you too much credit. Y'all ain't Switzerland. You don't have the Swiss Alps or Swiss cheese. A Swiss miss? You don't have watches and chocolate in the second largest office of the United Nations? What do you have? The Baconator? When's the last time somebody got stabbed over a Baconator like they did the Popeye's chicken sandwich? That's a true story. When's the last time a Wendy's employee sold Baconators on the black market, causing an all-out brawl among restaurant staff like they did at Popeye's? That's a true story. When's the last time the President of the United States served Baconators at an official state dinner like he did with the Popeye's chicken sandwich? That's fake news, but sadly, it could be a true story. What I'm trying to say, people of Wendy's, is that you're not even Switzerland, you're Liechtenstein. You're Equatorial Guinea. You're Kyrgyzstan. People don't even know you exist. No, even worse, you're Greenland. People forget you're there until another company wants to buy you up. What happened to the company whose logo was a red-headed Greta Thunberg? Y'all were Greta before Greta was Greta. But Leonard, we have square burgers. Ma'am, what do your square burgers taste like? Goddamn burgers! But Leonard, we have the Frosty. And what does that taste like? Chocolate-ass milk. And it ain't even Oberweis, it's Dean's milk. But Leonard, we dunk our fries in our Frosties. And what does that taste like? Delicious! But people have been dunking fries in stupid shit for almost 250 years. But one thing I will give you is that you do have chili. But why? It's like there was a meme that said, nobody, colon, blank space. Wendy's, colon, a picture of damn chili. Nobody asked for it. It's like, oh, when you go to a restaurant and they're like, oh, we do things a little differently. Do I sit my ass down and order off a menu and you bring me the food and I eat it and I pay you for the food and the service? That's a motherfucking restaurant! People of Wendy's, how are you gonna stand out? How are you gonna be different? You're gonna be the first fast food chain to go completely organic? You got a long way to go considering the 2019 Chain Reaction Report recently rated y'all's meat a D+. Y'all got D+ meat! Are you a religious zealot like Chick-fil-A? Do you make light of mental health issues like Burger King? Do you make many blaxploitation films that you call commercials like McDonald's? Or does your food stand the test of time like a McDonald's fry you find in your car or your couch cushion 3 years later, and it's still a little warm and greasy? You might be looking at Popeye's like, wow, they're really doing them. But a Popeye's chicken sandwich has about 1,400 milligrams of sodium, more than half the daily recommended amount, assuming you're not one of the 78 million Americans with high blood pressure. And the sandwich only has 2 grams of fiber, which is surprising considering you gotta drop a huge deuce right after. And Popeye's is one of the primary residents of food swamps, communities, mainly black and brown, where unhealthy food options outnumber healthy options by 4 to 1. Like if food options were people in a food swamp, 3 out of 4 would have high blood pressure. Where did I find this out? I didn't have to call Obonpan or Le Pan Quotidien to dig up dirt on your food opponent. I Googled it. And I'm not shaming Popeyes, I'm just saying what you see on social media is not the complete story. And now to bring this talk a little closer home, I've enlisted the help of self-help guru and truth bomber all the way from Texas, Brené Brown. Hey y'all, I'm Brené Brown. Just a white lady named Brené who spits truth like Tupac. Which led to me being the first person to have a TED Talk on Netflix. But a little bit more about me. I curse a little and I say things like girlfriend, so I'm fun. Now you've heard my friend Major Kilroy say, people of Wendy's this, people of Wendy's that. But what if I were to tell you that you're not people of Wendy's, but Wendy's people? Like in your own personal lives. Mm-hmm. You're like, holy shit, I am a Wendy's person. Sure, my square burger might make me a little quirky, but I'm still a basic-ass burger. Oh, y'all didn't know we were going to church today, huh? And don't worry, it's not Chick-fil-A church. And it's also not Church's Chicken, home of the 24-piece for $3 with wings so big it looks like a fried eagle. I mean, fuck shit, bitch, girlfriend. We're taking it to the church of you. The truth is, we all start out Wendy's people fighting our own little sandwich wars. We pay attention to the Popeyes when they have their little moments, but a bitch didn't really care about Popeyes until August. And after she has her moment, the bitch will sashay away. Except for her delicious Cajun fried turkeys at Thanksgiving, please do try those. But how do you get to staying power? You become vulnerable and honest with yourself. You figure out the shit that makes you you, and you embrace the shit out of that shit. So clean up your house and advertise who you really are, and not who you think you should be, because girlfriend, Airbnb will be coming around to verify your listing and will expose you for the fake bitch you are. Okay, well, now I feel attacked. Didn't know being Wendy's person was a bad thing. No, you said what you said, Brene! So I guess just go out there and give them the D. Plus meat. Thank you.
Was that fabulous?
Man in Florida is obviously a very famous trope in comedy. At the Machete, Michael Gomez is one of our favorite men from Florida. He's a public defender living in Chicago. Of course, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's new health scares are causing understandable panic, especially within the pro-choice movement. The patient, slow drip, long game, carefully calibrated erosion of Roe versus Wade is a subject that the Machete has long chronicled. This set is from one of those moments. In April of 2019, a Texas lawmaker proposed a shock bill that could make a woman eligible for the death penalty for seeking an abortion. Here's Alex Heumann.
Texas. Back in the news. For what? You guessed it. Criminalizing abortion without exception and making it possible for women who undergo abortion to be convicted of homicide, which can carry the death penalty in Texas. Murdering ladies for murdering babies. All right, let's go. Do you think they call it the Lone Star State because it deserves a 1-star rating across the board? You were offended by that one. Strap in. The bill is called the Abolition of Abortion in Texas Act and was introduced by Representative Tony Tinderholt, a Democrat. I'm just kidding, of course he's a Republican. Tinderholt is actually the fourth most conservative representative in the Texas House, coming in behind number three, the ghost of George Bush Sr., number two, the devil, and number one, Ted Cruz's sensible turtleneck. While it's very unlikely that the act will become law, the fact that it actually earned a hearing this week is both disappointing and terrifying, as this is just one of dozens of other legislative pushes to dismantle abortion rights across the country. Conservative lawmakers are hoping to push forward bills like this to trigger U.S. Supreme Court cases that could strike down the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, which is on point with the principles of the newest associate judge, Brett Kavanaugh, who also loves to push forward despite women's objections. These fetal heartbeat bills, named such because technology can detect a heartbeat at about 6 weeks, have been passed by legislatures in Kentucky, Mississippi, and Ohio, have moved through one house of the legislatures of Georgia, Missouri, and Tennessee, and have been introduced by legislators in Florida, Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, New York, South Carolina, and West Virginia. One of the many issues with these bills is the 6-week cutoff, which is usually before most women can even tell if they're pregnant. 6 weeks is not a long time. I've gone 6 weeks without taking a dump. And when I finally did, I checked. No heartbeat. Many of these lawmakers also stand behind claims that the fetus can feel pain at just eight weeks. Men, of course, being the experts on something that small being felt. In addition to the debilitating time limits imposed on abortion seekers, many states also have one or more of the following restrictions in place: counseling requirements before the procedure, waiting periods of 24 hours or more, and multiple clinic visits, which require women, especially those in rural or low-income areas, to take time off of work, spend money on transportation and lodging while they're told what's best for their body, on top of paying out of pocket for a procedure that can cost up to $800. Clinics themselves face extremely restrictive trap laws, otherwise known as targeted regulation of abortion providers, which unfairly impose ludicrous requirements on abortion providers not imposed on other medical providers, like dictating the size of janitor's closets or parking spaces at clinics, or requiring health centers to keep the grass outside cut to a certain height. Listen, the only landscaping that abortion clinics should be thinking about are the sweet lightning bolts these millennials are shaving into their bushes. But the trap laws aren't restrictive enough to keep these pesky 1 in 4 women who seek abortion in her lifetime at bay. So here's a quick snapshot of some of the other ways lawmakers are grabbing us by the pussy. In Mississippi, the law that Governor Phil Bryant signed says a physician who performs an abortion after a fetal heartbeat is detected could face revocation of his or her Mississippi medical license. The law also states that abortions could be allowed after a fetal heartbeat if a pregnancy is found to endanger the woman's life or one of her major bodily functions. But the House and Senate both rejected efforts to allow exceptions for pregnancy caused by, you guessed it, rape or incest. Over in Ohio, the Senate passed House Bill 481 that would make performing an abortion after a heartbeat is detected a fifth-degree felony, carrying a penalty of 6 to 12 months in jail and a $2,500 fine. What a great way to make sure that OBGYN practitioners stop considering Ohio as a viable place to work for fear of losing their job over doing their job. Like Mississippi, it allows exceptions for life and health of the mother, but not rape or incest. In Alabama, legislation has been proposed that would criminalize performing an abortion at any stage, with the only exception being a threat to the mother's life. The doctor performing the abortion could face a Class A felony, which carries 10 to 99 years in prison. The text of the Alabama bill equated legalized abortion to some of the greatest atrocities the world has seen, including the Holocaust and Rwandan genocide. And it's like, wait a minute. Are Southern conservative Republicans now calling the deaths of 6 million Jews and 1 million Africans atrocities? That seems like something they'd be very stoked about. not me. At the end of the day, there is a brutal lack of empathy and understanding about the burden placed on women, particularly low-income women, when it comes to bodily autonomy. It's not enough that we are charged with seeking out and paying for birth control if we're lucky enough to live in a state that allows us access to it, but we must also now fear for our lives should we decide to go through with a procedure that we have decided is best for us, and to be shamed by those who will never, no matter how much we explain, never understand what it's like to have to make this decision. Our Texas star, Tony Tinderholt, was recently quoted saying the following: "I don't think that there should be any exceptions to murder, no matter what. So if this child was out of the womb and it was a child that was born out of rape or incest, no one would be okay with killing a child. I look at it like that. A child is a child in the womb, just like it's out. Right now, it's real easy. Right now, women don't make it important to be personally responsible because they know that they have a backup of, oh, I can just get an abortion. Now, we both know that consenting adults don't always think smartly sometimes, but consenting adults need to also consider the repercussions of sexual relationships that they're gonna have, which is a child. Personal responsibility is an interesting choice of words here. It implies that it is the individual's responsibility to deal with the consequences of sex. Individual, single. Individual sex doesn't result in pregnancy. Individual sex is just mama's quiet time on Thursday night while she takes in the latest Idris Elba film. It takes two to tango and to inseminate an egg, but there are zero laws regulating the actions and responsibilities of anyone except women. What do we need to do? Hit these lawmakers in the face with a wad of cum? Knowing their affinity for fiscal responsibility, they'd probably love a money shot. That one got you good? Darshan Kendrick, Democratic Minority Whip from Georgia, had an idea to combat this hypocrisy when she introduced the Testicular Bill of Rights in March. The proposed legislation would require men to obtain permission from their sex partner before they're able to obtain a prescription for Viagra or any erectile dysfunction medication. Ban vasectomy procedures in Georgia, both in part or whole, with the same punitive measures for performing the procedure that are listed in Ohio's House Bill 481. Make it an aggravated assault crime for men to have sex without a condom. Require DNA testing when a woman is 6 weeks and 1 day pregnant to determine the father of the child, who shall immediately start paying child support. And impose a 24-hour waiting period for men to purchase any porn or sex toys in the state of Georgia. While this bill isn't going to become actual law, it does a great job of demonstrating the absolute lunacy behind these Handmaid's Tale-esque regulations coming down the pipeline. But just like the women in red robes, we'll keep fighting and keep advocating for our sisters across the country and globe. And most importantly, we won't let the bastards grind us down. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen. Boston native Alex Cumin is a stand-up comedian living in Chicago. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got in a heated exchange this week and a dumb apology to go with it for her troubles. Maybe it's time for a little tutorial on these matters. Take it away.
How not to apologize. Tape number 27. Have you found yourself in a recent PR disaster that tainted the steps of Capitol Hill? Are you an angry white man who doesn't know how to properly apologize? Have you ever taken into consideration the perspective of a Latina immigrant mother? I didn't think so, muchacho. Hi, my name is Troy McGibbons. You may remember me from such self-help audio tapes such as "It's My Hamster and I Need It Now," "Save 15% on love with your heart," and "Get your shit together, asshole." If you're listening to this tape, chances are you've done something wrong. In this case, you apologized and didn't mean it. Today, we'll use a real-world situation in which you'll be able to identify and solve the problem very simply. Today, I teach you how not to apologize. Now, before we continue, I might add that today's real-world example does not reflect my own personal political beliefs. We start today with a passage from one of our nation's more colorful voters.
I really do believe that we are on the verge of something special. I do believe that in my lifetime we will see an uprising, one led by a strong, badass woman who will be bilingual, dance to the rhythm of any beat, be able to fling a chancla 20 to 30 yards deep, and lift up more than just the people but the culture and bring it to the forefront of our nation's consciousness. One rooted in faith, strength, passion, pride, and pleasure. I'm talking about seeing the nation's first Latina president of the United States of America, and seeing many Karens around the nation asking to speak to the manager. And when the manager arrives and evidently only speaks Spanish just to piss off a Karen, I'll know I've woken up in the America I've always dreamed impossible. I say this with a tear in my eye and an Uber Eats order at my door.
We might get there sooner rather than later, thanks to the one trick that the Republican Party loves to utilize over and over again. As a matter of fact, one might argue it's nothing but a trick that men have utilized since the beginning of time, and one that I'm certainly guilty of using myself. That's right, it's apologizing for something we really don't mean to apologize for. Fake-ass empathy, fake-ass apology, fake-ass amends. That's exactly what happened when Florida man / Republican Rep. Ted Yoho and resident Yahoo apologized for the abrupt manner of an exchange he had with New York Democratic Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez who appeared underwhelmed by the act of contrition following reports Yoho used profane language during an altercation on the Capitol steps. "You are out of your freaking mind," Yoho reportedly told Ocasio-Cortez on the House steps for suggesting during a town hall last month that poverty and unemployment are leading to a spike in crime in New York City amid the coronavirus pandemic. Ocasio-Cortez responded to the charge by telling Yoho he was being rude. After parting ways, Yoho was overheard by the reporter allegedly referring to Ocasio-Cortez as a fucking bitch. And then came this.
"I rise to apologize for the abrupt manner of the conversation I had with my colleague from New York. It is true that we disagree on policies and visions for America, but that does not mean we should be disrespectful."
This sounds exactly like the type of apology you'd make for wearing your dirty-ass shoes in your parents' clean-ass house as a child. Yoho told AOC that she was out of her freaking mind. I mean, sure. I mean, this strong, intelligent, and powerful woman worked a working-class job in New York City. If you ask me, she's out of her fucking mind. Fucking bonkers. She waited tables in New York City. She took the subway in New York City. She was used to throwing men out of bars for using sexist and derogatory language towards women in New York City. Bit of a tip for Yoho. When you use the words fucking bitch in a heated exchange, it's usually because you've run out of anything credible, rational, or true to say. It also means you're wrong. You're fucking wrong. Look, you don't want your children watching porn. And I'll go as far as saying you don't want your daughters seeing men in power get away with name-calling grown women for being powerful, opinionated, and intelligent. The point I'm trying to make is cut out the apologies. You want to be mad at a woman, Republican lawmakers, do you? You really do? Well, then go home to your wives. They're there for that purpose. They're essentially the backbone of your America. I mean, who else is going to uphold the standards and stereotypes of what a woman should be and do before the women's suffrage movement was ever a thing? Who gets to talk and walk at the same time? Not your women. Go make them sad. Not the women in the chamber. You work with those women, silly. If there is one thing Latinas are good at doing, it's cleaning up white people's messes and manifesting a legacy for generations to come. And I bet you everything I own that the only people to get mad at that remark are straight, cisgendered white women. Look, just ask my mama. Through their actions, decision-making, compassion, and leadership, they are the examples we should follow, recognize, and take pride in emulating. Latinas, stand up. It's time. It's your time. I'm sure anything I've said throughout this public disruption can be deemed as problematic, but as a reminder, I'm all alone, stuck worrying about this pandemic, and I have lots of Uber Eats promo codes. So I've had a lot of time to think. I also miss my mother, so there is that. As a proud Latino myself, I'm happy saying that I'm ready to shut up. I'm just hungry, lonely, and ready to be a proud Latino in America, ready to vote for a strong Latina president. She'll know what to do. You said it, Ricardo. You said it.
That sketch was written and performed by native Chicago stand-up comic Jason Acevedo. And now for some straight-up stand-up comedy. I loved this set we recorded at the end of February from a comic visiting from L.A. making her Machete debut. This is Ella Gale.
I do live in Los Angeles. I'm doing a bunch of shows while I'm here, but I came to Chicago because I wanted to spend a couple of days being thin. It's going great. I love it. I've been seeing a lot of movies lately, a lot of horror remakes. I love a scary movie. They haven't remade my favorite horror movie yet, and I desperately want to see it. All I want to see remade is Silence of the Lambs. Yes. Right? And all I want from the whole movie is a single scene where we get to see Buffalo Bill in a CVS completely overwhelmed by the number of different lotion options. Consumer choice is paralyzing, right? Have you guys ever looked at a wall of yogurts and just wished one was a gun? I want to see Buffalo Bill back in his murder hole. It rubs the... I guess it rubs the toner on its skin first. And then he has to run back upstairs because his murder basement doesn't get a good Wi-Fi signal, and he wants to read the rest of the Goop.com article on skincare that he downloaded earlier. And then by the end of the movie, Buffalo Bill is a successful YouTube beauty blogger. That's the remake I personally deserve. I don't do that many impressions, but I'll do one for you tonight. This is Buffalo Bill wearing the woman suit in the year 2020. It has pockets. I love a dress or a skirt with pockets. I love anything that goes in and then out. Any of those like big skirts look really good on me because I have what's known as an hourglass figure, which means that my lower half keeps getting heavier as time carries me closer to death. I don't know if you can tell, I'm not a very cool person. I know I'm not cool because I lost my virginity at the age I would want my daughter to lose hers. And this is not my fault, I promise. I come from a long line of really rigid rule-following people. And here is the best example of my people. When I was a baby, I had leukemia, and my parents turned down a free Make-A-Wish trip to Disneyland for me because they were pretty sure I was gonna live. Leukemia, of course, is when your body produces too many white cells, like Idaho. I do think that the Trump presidency is an NRA conspiracy to trick liberals into buying guns. But I don't think it's gonna work, because I'm never gonna buy a gun from any existing gun store. I want a progressive gun buying experience. I want to buy a gun from the back of a feminist bookstore. Where I go back, and then when I select the correct Simone de Beauvoir work, a secret panel swings out, and there's a hidden back room. And in that back room, a team of lesbians is assembling handguns. From recycled aluminum and sustainable bamboo. Pew, pew, pew! Why lesbians, you ask? I don't know. I want the guns to work. But when I buy that gun, they donate a free gun to a child in Africa. I am single. I don't really have a type. Is a statement that is not true, but when I say it, I don't have to confront my own racism. You have to confront it. I grew up in a town called Colorado Springs in Colorado, right? You gasped. It's very white. It's a city full of megachurches. So many megachurches, I think we are up to a full gigachurch of storage. And my parents aren't conservatives, but they also didn't talk to me about race, like, at all. Like, I think the best they did is that they gave me a thumbs up and anytime NPR played jazz, you know? And you have to do better. Like, I want to do better than my parents. I think that's the bare minimum. My mom still whispers the word black. And I don't want to be like that, so I make sure that I always shout the word black. I asked my black friend if she thinks it's really okay for me to be talking about race on stage, and she looked at me and she said, "Who the fuck are you?" So. Truthfully, I have dated a lot of large white men in okay shape. If you put all my exes together in a room, it would look like a small rural liberal arts college's basketball team. You know? A lot of men with big hands. And there's something I like to say about a man with big hands, which is, let me fuck those hands. I don't care about your dick at all. It is not of particular interest to me. If I had to pin it down, I would say that my dream man is just the hamburger helper. Look, the hamburger helper is not just a big hand. The hamburger helper is a big hand with a mouth and a job. I am single. I only started watching porn pretty recently. For the a long time, I just read it. I read erotica. But I've started watching it, and I do still worry about the women in porn, but I've come up with a way that I think would make porn much friendlier to women, much more realistic, and also just better for humans in general. Here's my big Shark Tank pitch, is that in every video, in every porn video, there should be an out-of-shape couple in the corner doing a modified version of the pose. You love to see it. I'm going to tell you guys my favorite joke, and then I'll get out of here. I don't like the phrase cum dumpster because it implies that I'm not the final destination for that cum. It implies that I'm only a small component of a broader cum civil infrastructure. And then I'm gonna be out on the curb on a Tuesday morning blocking somebody's parking space, waiting to be emptied out into a slightly larger woman on roller skates. Cum dumpster, what does that mean? That means I'm having unprotected sex with a lot of different men who all live in the same apartment complex? Safe? No, but it sounds like I'm having a fantastic time and I'm saving a ton of money on gas. Have fun driving from Bridgeport to Logan Square, other sluts. I will be in one location all night. Very low ecological footprint is the words that it says on my tramp stamp. I think the term you're looking for, gentlemen, is cum landfill. Thank you. My parents are not here tonight. But I have told that joke in front of them, and I love doing it because it lets them know that I am still using my master's degree in environmental engineering. Thank you guys so much. You've been so fun. I'm Ella Gale.
Colorado native Ella Gale is based in Los Angeles and writes for the brilliant satirical website, The Hard Times. And finally, this week, a new poll revealed that in a head-to-head matchup with Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren wins Democratic support as Joe Biden's running mate. It just so happens that the very last piece that was performed in the final paper machete before the shutdown was also the week that Elizabeth Warren dropped out of the presidential race. We obviously did not know at the time it was being performed that we would not be back in the Green Mill the following Saturday, that we were witnessing the very last live weekly machete performance since January 2010. Here Now Is That Essay by Carly Oishi.
On February 22nd in North Carolina, Heaven Fitch was the first girl to ever win an individual state championship in wrestling. Fitch defeated 54 boys to claim the title and also was awarded Most Outstanding Wrestler. On CharlotteStories.com, Charles Miller says, "The state should be sued for allowing a girl to wrestle the boys. It's very apparent the boys are all suffering emotional distress from losing to a girl while she glows about it. I'm guessing all these people on here praising the girl won't be praising a boy that wrestled and beat a bunch of girls and he stood there with a big smile on his face. In any competition where physical ability is involved, girls should compete against girls, boys against boys." Ty Say comments, "How would you feel if you were a boy who was just beat by a girl? It doesn't take a genius to understand that. Well, of course you wouldn't understand. You're not a boy slash man. This is one of the most embarrassing things a boy can go through. Men are very sad and oppressed and demoralized. And men have a lot of fucking opinions. They start podcasts, they troll Twitter, they comment on a stranger's Facebook post, they bark at women to get in line, blue no matter who, as if 94% of black women didn't vote for Hillary. They do not believe they are wrong. They do not believe they are too emotional. They do not believe they have to shut up. Do I hate men? Yes. I hate men for hating women. I hate that they don't believe or understand unconscious bias, just like people think they understand racism when they're the only white person in the room. I hate that they can't just say something is sexist because it implies something about them. Me Too, Time's Up, Mute R. Kelly, all this makes men incredibly uncomfortable because it means examining their behavior, and that's a mirror they'd rather not look into. And women? Women are dieting, women are cleaning, women are managing the households, women are taking care of the children, women are busy trying to make men happy at their job, in their home, on the bus. Some of them do it so they don't get killed. Some of them teach children with disabilities at a public school, get their law degree, study economics, become the highest paid professor at Harvard, write 5 books, start the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, become a senator, and run for president. Some of them fucking destroy Mike Bloomberg live on television and get him to suspend his campaign. Some of them hold rallies and stay for hours until every person who wants to take a selfie with her gets one. Some of them have plans to help family farms, reduce student loan debt, offer free public college, tax large corporations, regulate technology companies, address opioid addiction. They want Medicare for all, a higher minimum wage, breaking up monopolies, the ability to indict a sitting president. But somehow, the more electable people have dicks. They have white hair. They are the only ones who can defeat Trump, and they are definitely gonna die of coronavirus. And even when that happens, another old, whiter than white guy will be put in their place. There seems to be an endless supply of them still directing all the movies, still giving their opinion on major news networks, still passing bills regulating women's bodies, still separating families at the border, still putting babies in cages, still profiting from underpaid labor, still determining who is likable, talented, competent, experienced, good enough. You do not go 250 years never having a woman president if gender isn't an issue. You don't go 253 years never having a woman vice president if gender isn't an issue. Women make up 50.4% of the United States population, but represent 43% of the Supreme Court, 25% of the Senate, 23% of the House, 22% of mayors, 22% of governors, 6% of the Fortune 500 CEOs. But thankfully, we live 5 years longer than men, so we can watch the world burn down around us. Every man who claims this isn't about sexism can fuck off into the sea. And every woman who says the same should be chained to that man. All of this garbage was created by men, most who are white, wage disparities, the wealth gap, private health care, voter suppression, climate change. If you're fucking mad about the state of this country, then you should be directing all of that anger to men. And don't you dare come at me about morons like Susan Collins, because there aren't enough of her to make a damn difference. But what's the point of even bringing that up when there's an actual rapist in the White House? Elizabeth Warren is the last straw. At least she is for now. She is the latest in the never-ending onslaught of heartbreak women across the country experience day in and day out. Elizabeth Warren losing is every time I've been called a bitch, every time I've been told to smile, every time my worth was measured by the size of my tits. And tomorrow, there will be just another tiny paper cut, another reminder that we are second-class citizens. We'll drive 200 miles to the closest abortion clinic. We'll go back to work 6 weeks after having a baby because we can't afford not to. We'll pump breast milk in the bathroom, in our cars, in the utility closet. We'll figure out how to make 77 cents stretch like a dollar, all the while being the only means of emotional support for men, a bottomless receptacle of their complaints, their failures, their bruised egos, and we'll apologize for not giving them more blowjobs. We'll apologize for just wanting to be friends. We'll apologize for the house looking this way. We'll apologize for putting on weight. And we'll apologize for thinking we could be the president of the United States. Thank you.
Carly Oishi is a Chicago live-lit artist and longtime Macheteite. And this was the Machete Audio Magazine, July 25th, 2020. The Paper Machete is produced by Leah Munsey and myself, Christopher Pyatt. Our audio engineer is Jacob Serio. We'll catch you all again next week and leave you with one last lullaby from one of my all-time favorite collaborators, the fabulous Abby Roshashaker. And what a lovely way to say goodnight, Mrs. Steinberg, wherever you are.
Oh, I hate when you're away. Another hour, another mile, another state. Oh, I hate when you're away. Another day, another night, another place. And when you call me from some party, because all day I had missed you on the phone. When you call me from some party, laughing about something you've seen that I will never know. When you call me from some party, oh, I'm glad to hear your voice, but I feel so alone. Oh, oh, oh. When you're gone, I don't get on. I watch the shadows as they lengthen on the lawn. When you're gone, I don't get on. I watch the day become a night without a dawn. And when you call me from some party, you don't mean to hurt me when I hear you having fun. When you call me from some party, you gotta shout you miss me over noise from everyone. When you call me from some party, I'm going to bed now, but your night has just begun. Oh, 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 oh. When you call me after the party, whisper that you love me and you can't wait to come home. When you call me after the party, whisper that you love me and you can't wait to come home. When you call me after the party, whisper that you love me and you can't wait to come home.
Thank you so much.